Continuing the reading from Matthew. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others their fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The word of the Lord. The opening words we heard Jesus say as Matthew records them, words which Anne read, are these. Beware of practicing your piety before others to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. I wonder what it means, whether publicly or privately, to practice piety. We know people practice law. We know people practice medicine. Or practice piano, or practice lacrosse. What does it mean to practice piety? According to Jesus, hypocrites practice piety. According to Jesus, his disciples should too. In his view, there's a right way to practice piety and a wrong way to practice piety. So pay attention. It's not what you do in this passage as much as how you do it that earns Jesus' praise or condemnation. So as we say sometimes in my men's Bible study class when we're looking at a particular translation, we'll say, let's see what the Bible says, meaning the King James Version of 1611. The King James says it like this. Take heed that ye do not your alms before me to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward. Doing alms is what the King James calls practicing piety. That doesn't help me much. Those are both kind of churchy words, aren't they? Old churchy words. Quite frankly, I'm still not sure what Jesus wants to beware of practicing. So, I did what you probably do. I looked to another translation, one that was written to be understood in common language in modern English. 1966, do you remember the stick figures of the Good News Translation? This'll settle it. Make certain you do not perform your religious duties in public so that people will see you. If you do these things publicly, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. The Good News calls it performing religious duties. Well, in Matthew 6, if we read on, Jesus is going to give some examples of these religious duties. Charitable giving to the poor. They used to do that by dropping a collection in the synagogue. They called it alms to be benefiting those in need. Performing religious duties would include praying to God, as Jesus describes in this passage, and here we get the Lord's Prayer, and also fasting. All religious duties, deeds to be done quietly, privately, humbly, not boastfully or in a public or arrogant way. I like what one commentator says. This passage does not exhort readers to give, fast, and pray. this passage assumes readers give, fast, and pray. What is urged in this passage is a particular manner of fulfilling these religious duties. So perhaps we could summarize the teaching by trying to say it like this. Practice your faith, just don't let other people see you practicing your faith. But wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to let our light shine before others so that the world might see the good works and give glory to the Father. Is faith private or public? After all, we gather here not privately, but in a public service of worship. You know, when a church is in trouble is when it offers a public service of worship and only the members come. No. This is a public service sponsored, if you will, by the members for all the community. Public. The ashes on our foreheads, I saw one this morning at Publix. The ashes on our forehead will be seen by others. My son, before going to play in our first church softball game tonight, said, "I think it would look weird playing softball with ashes on my forehead." Yet we don't put the ashes on a hidden place. They would be put publicly so that if you stop for gas on the way home, people will see you. Are we not supposed to publicly profess our faith? I have a dilemma as I approach this passage. Jesus says all things must be done secretly, and at the same time, we're told the gospel is to be proclaimed publicly. Hold that question. Still searching for the best way to render a translation for this passage that is not about piety or religious acts or alms, I turn to the biblical Greek. And a literal translation of the biblical Greek would have it read like this: beware of doing righteousness before others. That's interesting. Beware of doing the right thing before other people. Because if you do it publicly, you will lose your reward. What does righteousness mean? Doing the right thing, the thing that God commands us to do, asks us to do, desires that we do. Jesus even says in Matthew's gospel, unless your righteousness, your practice of faith, of doing the right, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So the practice of righteousness is what's at stake in this passage. Jesus calls his disciples to practice righteousness, to do the right and the good thing, but to do it in a certain way, in a way that's not boastful, in a way that doesn't really benefit you, but transfers the attention finally to God. The manner in which you do your religious duties, the manner in which you do good and right deeds, this is probably more important than the thing you do itself. Our motivation, our calling as followers of Jesus, is not to call attention to ourselves, or as they did in the Tower of Babel, this was their great mistake, let's make a great name for ourselves and build a tall tower. No, it is God's name that is to be made great. We already know from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus wants his followers to do good works. He says, let your light shine so that people see your good works. There's the righteousness. And when they see your good works, they will give glory to God in heaven. Good works done in a way that don't call attention to we who do them, but that give praise and honor and glory to God, who is the source of all good gifts. My daughter was on a cross mission trip. Many of you know that trip. It's a Charlotte trip that we sponsor every year for middle schoolers. And I was a chaperone that year, and every year we take an urban hike where we check out how the bus system works and where public restrooms are and where folks can or can't sit down to rest and where resources are and so forth. And we were doing that several block walk when she left me and the group of middle schoolers I was with and went up through a grassy knoll to some bushes on a hill. And when she rejoined us, I think I said, "Where did you go?" And she said, "I looked on that hill and I saw a sleeping bag. And so I thought that's probably where a person who is homeless is going to come when it gets dark. And so I left them a good surprise," her bottle of water. Then she preached to her father, saying, "Sometimes, Dad, the best things we do for other people aren't seen by anybody." Wow, where have I heard that before? The distinction Jesus is making tonight, and which I invite you to wrestle with in these 40 days of Lent, is this: anybody can do good works. Everybody should do good works, helpful deeds, act rightly in the world. Hypocrites and folks in the marketplaces can do the same. But as followers of Jesus, people who are trying to live in a certain way, we're called to a higher righteousness than the typical act of good, one that exceeds what's common. He calls us to do not only good works and right actions, but to do them in a way that turns attention away from us and directs it toward God. Our hymnal is well named, isn't it? Glory to God. Practicing piety, it literally means doing righteousness. There is a look at me approach to life and to religious behavior. It is typical in our day. In fact, you might say it's ordinary and common. It is not the way that Jesus calls us to take. He prefers that we do good works that glorify God. And he warns us about choosing the other way of doing it. His critique of religious leadership and of the typical way of doing religious duty, we learn more of in Matthew 23. So permit me to read a little bit of what Jesus had to say to and about the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day. He said to his disciples, "Do whatever they teach you. Follow the commands that the Pharisees teach. But don't do as they do. They don't practice what they teach. They do their deeds in order to be seen by others. Oh, they love to be seen. They love to be publicly noticed. They love to be greeted with respect. They love the places of honor. They love the best seats at the banquets. What they fail is the practice of justice and love and mercy. Inside, they're corrupt. They're greedy. They're self-indulgent. They're hypocrites. They have no discipline. They're lawless. If you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. I call you to humble yourself. And trust that God will exalt you." The good works that for which we strive in Lent are the works Jesus did. He gives us a flesh and blood example, welcoming the stranger, showing mercy, befriending the friendless, working for peace. We are followers to continue doing the good work he did. He fasted and he prayed, he served, he gave. We baptize in his name. We follow his example of love and teaching and healing and comfort. The work goes on after the time of Jesus on earth. So keep it up and keep it going. That's what the church has been doing since the time that Christ ascended to heaven and sent the Spirit to animate and guide us. Keep up the good work. It is God's will and command for us, but do it in the right way. There's a self-promoting way that Jesus says to beware of and avoid. And then there is the right way, the way of helping others that gives glory to God. That's the disciples' way. There's no benefit in it. There's no recognition or reward when you do something good in God's name. It will be invisible to most everybody. But, says Jesus, when you do the right thing and in the right way, your Father who sees in secret sees it. And says Jesus, he will surely reward you richly, openly, eternally, and joyfully in the heavenly realm. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.